Parshas Re'eh starts off again with the idea of Bechira Chavshis. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to decide to do mitzvahs and averis. And if you do the mitzvah, you get a bracha. If you do the averis, you get a klola. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva writes about this Iker and Amuna of Bechira Chavshis, which most of the psychologists today don't believe in. One who goes to university, studies psychology, has to be careful not to fall in with the apikursis. We do believe in Bechira Chavshis. So when the Rambam writes this, then he doesn't call it Bechira Chavshis. He calls it Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuna. Why doesn't he call it Bechira? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that Bechira means like Bechirot, like you go for the elections in Eretz Yisrael. So your parents give you a choice. Want to go to this yeshiva, that yeshiva. He doesn't want to go to any yeshiva. He wants to go to university. But the parents give you a choice. Want to go to this university, that university. Doesn't want to go to any university. Wants to go to yeshiva. Bechira means you have the ability to choose from the two alternatives that are presented to you. The Rambam wants to tell you that there's more than Bechira Chavshis. There's even Rishus. You have the ability to make a choice that you weren't even presented with. There's so many unusual Balei Tshuva in our generation. There's so many prominent people of Balei Tshuva. They weren't even given that option in the first place. They pulled themselves out of the whole mess of their family, and they decided to become of the Hashem. That's why the Rambam calls it Rishus. Years ago, I remember there was a certain rabbi who misunderstood the word Rishus. So he thought the Rambam says a person has permission to choose to do mitzvahs out there. Doesn't have permission to choose to do averis. That's not what it means with shus. You're going to burn a Gehenna. You got to get a klala if you do the averis. It means there's choice, there's freedom of choice, but it's not that you have the right to do it. The three big fat volumes of the Sefer Mitzvahs Rav Sadia Gaon, so in the Minyan on Mitzvahs, the way Rabbi Yeruchim Perla worked it out, in the Minyan on Mitzvahs, Rav Sadia Gaon counts the brachas and klalas of Hagriz Ma'arevel is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So it's a pella. This was once in the history of the world. We never repeat it again. And the Rambam has a klal. The Pashtus, the Rav Sadia Gaon also agrees. You only include mitzvahs that are noig l'doros. A mitzvah that was once in the history of the world doesn't count as a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla suggests that maybe what the Rav Sadia Gaon meant was that a hagriz meharevel do a mekabel orvus. The Gemara says the Kol Yisrael Ari Hanis Torah Hashem Lekein v'Handiglos Lono v'Nein Aroilam. There are Nekudas on the 11 letters. So the Gemara says the Nekudas mean to say that up until Ad Shav Yisrael as Hayardein, till they crossed over the Yardein, there was no Din of Kol Yisrael Ari Mizemiz. After they crossed over the Yardein, then Handiglos Lono v'Nein Aroilam. What happened after they crossed over the Yardein? That was the Krisis Bishud Hagriz Maharevo. When the Bnei Yisrael be turned into a nation. Until then, we were Yechidim. And after they were Mekabel Arvus, then we became Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. Then we became one big nation. So maybe that's what the Rav Sadia Gaon meant. He didn't mean the Brachos HaKlolos, the Hagriz Maharev. He meant the Mitzvah of Arvus that's based on the Krisis Bris at Hagriz Maharev. There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether this Arvus for Gerim. The Gemara says, Koshin Gerim Yisrael Kisapachas. And Tosfos has one, gives him Rashi like that, one shot, why Koshim Al Yisrael Kisapachas? Because the Gerim don't observe all the mitzvahs properly, and we will be held responsible, Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh, we will be punished for the fact that the Gerim are not mekayim all the mitzvahs. So the Rishonim say, they don't like that shot, because they think there's no Orvus for Gerim. And some Rishonim say there's no Orvus for women either. So the different version means that women don't have arbus for men and men don't have arbus for women. A whole discussion in the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchas Shabbos. When the husband, Dav Meirev, he's ready to Kiddush Deraisa. He comes home, he's going to say Kiddush Alakos. And his wife didn't Dav Meirev yet, so she has a Chiv Kiddush Deraisa. How can the husband be Moitzi the wife? He's Einim B'chuyi B'dov. So the answer is Yotza Moitzi. But Yotza Moitzi is based on the principle of Kosol HaRedin Zebozeh. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Kasha from the Dogma Mevava, but there's no Orvus for women. So Dogma Mevava understood there's no Orvus. Men don't have Orvus for the women. Also not only Tosfos said the women don't have Orvus for the men. So the dogma of Rav understood that men don't have rabbis for the women either. So that's a Rabbi Kedega, and the tshuva suggests maybe it's only in one direction. Women don't have rabbis for the men. And then others suggest Tosis never meant that either. Tosis is saying if women are not mechuyev in Birchas HaMazon in HaTorah, then there's no orvus. There's only orvus on the mitzvah that I'm mechuyev to do, so I'm mechuyev to see to it that everybody else observes that mitzvah also. But if I'm not mechuyev in that mitzvah, if women are not mechuyev to bench Birchas HaMazon in HaTorah, then they're not mechuyev in orvus either. But any mitzvah that the woman is mechuyev in, maybe she's even mechuyev orvus of the other people also. So this is really a shaila. I was talking the other day, one of the rabbis in Yeshiva told us that his next door neighbor happens to be a wonderful man, a ger, and on Purim he didn't feel well, and this rabbi knows how to lane, so he asked the rabbi, can he lane the Megillah for him privately at home? So the rabbi was going to go here to make her Megillah and shul, so to lane, he'll be happy to do the next door neighbor a teiva, but the shaila was, according to a whole group of Rishon, there's no orvus on behalf of gerim. So Yotze Moitzi wouldn't apply. So you can't read the Megillah a second time to be Moitzi the Ger. The Pashtus says that even though this is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, nobody raises the issue. So the Pashtus probably is that we don't accept that opinion. At the beginning of the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on repeating the mitzvah of moving to Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah. It sounds from the psukim as if the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is only fulfilled bishlei Musa if you destroy all the avodah zaras. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have a beautiful yishuv, but you have churches where they're praying to Yoshke, so you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael bishlei Musa. If the Israeli government will go destroy all the Christian churches in Eretz Yisrael, the United Nations will close them down. So I don't think it's Yehor Gval Yabba. It's Yehor Gval Yabba not to worship Abed Azor, but not to destroy Abed Azor. Mustama, that's not Yehor Gval Yabba. But that was a suggestion that someone said to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe it's correct that you're not Mikhaim Bishle Musa, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, cause man, that you don't get rid of all of the Abed Azores. We were just learning Gemara Abu Dizar this morning on Daf Mem Hey Omid Aleph. The Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yosef Glili. He learns off in the Pasuk, Abayt Abnon is called a Mekremes Asher Abdu Shamagayim Es Elohim Al Hohorim. So Rashi Yanchumish quotes, Elohim Al Hohorim, Al Hohorim, Elohim, that Mechuber does not become Osa Bahanua. Abu Dizar is Osa Bahanua, but if it's Mechuber, the mountain does not become Osa Bahanua. The Gemara has such a similar din that Balichayim, a behemoth, which is a nevad, if somebody worships a behemoth, it becomes posel on mizbeach. That's a drasha the Gemara has in Bava Kamma. On the opening pasuk in Vayikra, min habakam, min hatzayin, min is a miyut, min v'loy kol, lahotzias hamuktzah b'nevad, raveh b'nirvah, muktzah nevad, so on. So the Gemara seems to say, and the Rambam writes beferish like that, that this is one and the same din, the balechayim. Don't become asa b'hanoa, mishtachva l'behema, lo yasor, mishtachva l'har, lo yasora. It's one and the same din. It's not a din of mechuba versus tolush, because behema is not mechuba, behema is tolush. It's a din, yesh bo tfisus yadodam versus ein bo tfisus yadodam. So the behema and the mechuba are one and the same din, of ein bo tfisus yadodam. The Gemara even says, let's say the apples fell down from the tree and they're on the grass. So Kozman, nobody picked up the apple. That apple is Tolush, but it's Ein Bo Tfisus Yadodim. If someone picked it up and he put it down, oh, then it's called Yesh Bo Tfisus Yadodim, and then you mishtachvit to the apple will be Asa. Or a hen lays an egg. So the hen is Tolush, and the egg is Tolush. Because Kozman, nobody picked up the egg, so the hen is Ein Bo Tfisus Yadodim, and the egg is Ein Bo Tfisus Yadodim. The minute someone picks up the egg and puts it down, so that's called Yesh Bo Tfisus Yadodim, and then it can become Asa. You have a lot of dinim that depend on the difference between karka and metaltalim, but they're not exactly the same. Sometimes it depends on karka versus metaltalim, sometimes it depends on mechuber versus tolush. Sometimes here it depends on yesh bo tfisus yadodim. Different cases, they're not exactly identical. The dinim are slightly different because each case it's a little different. Then the Torah tells us we have to destroy all the avodah zaras. So the Gemara understands pasuk Dalit, Perek Yud Beis pasuk Asasim Keim Hashem Elokeichem goes. That's why we talk about Zayin Shem Shein Nimchokim. That's the Gemara in the end of Shavuos, because it says Lasasan Kein Hashem Lakech. If they sing the Yibarta Meshmam and Amokam Ahu, now let it destroy the Shein Hashem. The Chayyodam has a chiddush. He complains about the fact that people are mezalzel and covered Beis HaKnesses. So he says that most of the Rishonim assume that the whole Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, and the Mele, the whole Din covered Beis HaKnesses, is only by the Rabbanim. But he has a chiddush. He quotes Reb Lezer Mimitz, and the Sefer Yireim writes that when the Gemara in the end of Megillah has a comment on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael is going to send them into Yecheskel with the Navi before the Churban and during and after the Churban and Bavel. So Yecheskel Navi says that he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and send the Jews into Golis, and V'eilehem LeMikdash Me'at, I'll have the miniature Beis HaMikdash there. So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah that the miniature Beis HaMikdash is a reference to Batim and Rashas Shabbat Bavel. So the Rana on Megillah, the Rana beginning Perikoir, Perik Benehu Eir Megillah has a long essay. He quotes the Ramban. He disagrees about the nature of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So the Ramban holds that that pasuk is an asmachta. That's not really what it means. The whole Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is only the Rabbanan. It's an asmachta. So the Chayyodim quotes from Rav Lezer Mimitz, who disagrees, says, no, that's Pshuto Shamikra, and Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is a real status of Migdash Miyat. It's a real din deraisa. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Stichem quotes, some of the Achronim have this already, that the Rambam also says like Rav Lezer Mimitz, but it's not a Rambam in an obvious place, not a Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and it's not a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos or anything. It's a Rambam. The Rambam has the Sefer HaMitzvahs was written by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. So the Sefer Mitzvah was written in Arabic, and then at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam gives you the Minyan HaMitzvahs Biktzara. So in the Minyan HaMitzvahs Biktzara, when the Rambam quotes this pasuk, "Lasasim Kein Hashem Lakechem," Asar Anot Etzevim Menam Mizbeach Yadzan, and the same is true for Batei Knesses about the Midrashas. So the Rambam seems to be saying that the Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash is a Kedusha Deraisa, like the Chayyodim quoted from Rav Lezer Mimitz from the Sefer Yireim. Chayyodim complains that the practice was and still is like that. When a Talmid Chacham dies, so they make the funeral in the shul or in the yeshiva, and they take the Oren into the Beis HaMedrash. So he complains that it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's only permissible if it's a Goan Ba'aluf, if it's an unusual Talmid Chacham. So he writes, he was a Mechutan of the Vilna Goan, he was a Mechutan of one of the children of the Vilna Goan, but it sounds better if we say you're a Mechutan of the Vilna Goan. And when the Vilna Gaon passed away, so they took the Oren into the Beis HaMedrash. Says the Vilna Gaon was a Gaon ve'aluf, but he says every other rabbi, not every rabbi is Gaon ve'aluf. He says he thinks it's against the din that they're not permitted to bring the mace, the body into the Beis HaMedrash or the Beis HaKnesses because of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. A dead body is considered a piece of junk, smukta. Because it's considered a piece of junk. I remember when Mr. Goose gave so much money to Tzedakah. I remember when his wife passed away before him. So they had the funeral. He used to daven in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. So they had the funeral in the tiny shul, the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. And they took the Oren into the Beis HaMedrash, but they had asked the Shaila in advance. So they asked Rabbi Hirschsprung. So Rabbi Hirschsprung, I think, wrote a psak that they can take the Oren, Mrs. Gruss died, that they can take the Oren into the Ezra's Noshim. But the elevator was such that they couldn't take the Oren up to the Ezra's Noshim, so they took it into the shul. So that he didn't say. He was a goyim and stocker. Mr. and Mrs. Gruss were goyim and stocker, but not in learning. So that was really not right. You're not allowed to take the Oren into the Beis HaMedrash, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, unless it's Gaon ve'aluf. Then Rashi.
Would there be any halachic nafkaminas whether the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan?
Yeah, if you have a suffix, you have to be careful. Any suffix, no, only the rabbanan, the makom suffix you can make. So the Chayyodim complains that we should be careful. Any suffix, but he said this is not a suffix. He said here it says b'ferish only Gaon ve'aluf means that the stam rabbanan not. Yeah.
Yeah, safek pigia bekdusha bekneset.
Yeah. We all talk sticha b'teila and beis hamedrash and beis hakneses. We all talk lashon hara. All these things are awesome. They quote in the Behetav that the Arizal wouldn't hold the drasha in shul because he was afraid that he may say a line that's unnecessary. All the rabbanim crack jokes in the middle of the drashas. It's a serious issue. Yeah. So Rashi points out that quoting this Sifrei on this parsha, that it says twice that we shouldn't bring the karbanis wherever we want. We should bring that's in Pasuk Hey in chapter Yud Beis. And it says again, why does it say twice? So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, Lamaila Omer, the original Pasuk goes on Pasuk Hey, goes on Shiloh, and the second Pasuk goes on Beis Olamim. Novi Givon was a Bamek Gedolo. Was a Bamek Gedolo. This man had the Bamas. It was a Bamek Tana, Bamas Yachid, and a Bamek Gedolo was the Bamas Tziba. But Shiloh and Beis Olamim, that's Beis Amigdash. That's not just a Bamek Gedolo. There's an Isa Bamas. So first, this Hamakam Mashiv Hashem Bechira means to the exclusion of all others. We observe the Chem de Rabbeinu Gershom. We only take one wife. So when you send a wedding invitation, so you write, the boy's going to marry Bechira Slibo. That means Bechira to the exclusion of all others. He's not going to marry another wife. So that's Bizman Isa Bamas. During Shiloh and during Beis Alamim, there's a Bechira. At the time of Nova Given, there was no, it's not Hamakam Mashiv Hashem. It's not Bechira to the exclusion of all others. You can make a Bama Ketana if you want. Yeah, but the first one is only a partial Bechira, and the second one is a full Bechira. Why? Because part of Bechira is V'rastich Li L'Olam. This is a Bechira Olamis. So Shiloh was not Olamis, because Yesh Achrei Heter. After Shiloh, there was a Heter Bamas. But Beis Olamim in Yerushalayim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's Yerushalayim. That was the full Bechira. To the exclusion of all others, there was an Isa Bamas at that time, and also Bechira Ilamas, that Einachre Heter, after Yerushalayim was Charb, so there's no Heter to make a Bamas somewhere else. So that's where Rashi points out, that the full Bechira is Bechira to the exclusion of all others, and it's Ilamas. First, it describes the Beis HaMikdash, Amakim Yishar Hashem, Mikol Shivtechem. So the question is, what do you mean, Mikol Shiv Techen? But Yerushalayim, the Gemara says that the Azara was set b'chalka shal Yehuda and half b'chalka shal Binyamin. So what does it mean, Mikol Shiv Techen? So Pashup Shati could have interpreted the place that Hashem will choose from all the various Shvatim. He'll choose this location, which is half Yehuda and half Binyamin. So the Gemara had a tradition that that's not what it means. Yeshua ben Nun was told apparently by Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Shiv Techem means that the Makam HaMikdash should belong to Kol Shiv Techem. Not he will choose Mikol Shiv Techem a location that's half Binyam and half Yudim. So that's what the Gemara has in Machlokes HaTanoim. How did they fulfill this requirement of Mikol Shiv Techem? So the minority opinion that we don't accept is Yerushalayim was Nischal Kol Shvatim. Half of Yerushalayim is Binyam and half is Yehuda. And then when they had to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech collected money from all the Shvatim, and they bought up the Makam HaMikdash from Shevet Yehuda and from Shevet Binyamin, and now it belongs to Kol Shiv Techem. The accepted opinion is not so, that Lechatchila, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they already knew then that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in Yerushalayim. So Lechatchila, when they divided all the Shvatim, Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Zvulun, so Yehuda and Binyamin didn't own that location. Yerushalayim was one of the Alkal Shvatim.
Didn't they know? They only know that by the time of David HaMelech, but God HaNavi told them where it was. Till then, they didn't know where it was going to be.
Right. David HaMelech thought it was going to be in Ein Ittim. Ein Ittim is not in Yerushalayim. Ein Ittim is outside of Yerushalayim. So the Chasam Sefer is bothered with that kasha. How could they have had a suffix? They knew all along Yerushalayim is Lan and Chalk of the Shvatim. And the Gemara says the locations, those who got the Shvatim, got a section further away. Some people live 3 hours, 3-4 hours away driving by car from Yerushalayim. Other people live half an hour away by car. So the Gemara says those Shvatim got sections further away from Yerushalayim, their property was less valuable. So he had to give him more property. Everybody had to get equal property. So they knew from the days of Yeshua ben Nun that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in Yerushalayim. So then the Chassam Sefer works on that kasha. I thought perhaps the Teretz was like this. Washington, D.C., borders on two states. Which two states? I forgot already. Maryland and Delaware. Forgot already. But Washington is not in Maryland. What?
Virginia.
Okay. So, but Washington doesn't belong to any of the states. Washington is D.C. It's separate because it's the capital. So, Lo Netzchalka L'Shvatim. So in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they knew that Yerushalayim has to be Lo Netzchalka L'Shvatim. Yeshua ben Nun knew the real reason was because Mikol Shivtechem has to belong to all the Shvatim. And it's not sufficient if they collect money. We don't pass them like that, Tana. One Tana holds, or a Yehuda holds, it's enough. If you collect money from all the Shvatim and you buy it from Yehudim and Yamin, that'll be good enough. We pass them, that's not enough. So Yeshua ben Nun already knew from day number one that Makom HaMikdash is going to be in Yerushalayim. That's why it was Lo Netzchalka L'Shvatim. And later on, the truth of the matter was that the Gemara in the last daf in Sanhedrin has a machlekes Abayecha Mishloach. When you divide Eretz Yisrael L'Shvatim, does it make sense? But the Cholkim Erachim L'Shnei Shvatim. When you're drawing the borderline between one Shevet and the other, does it make sense to cut through the middle of a city? The one half of the city will belong to one Shevet, one half of the city will belong to the other Shevet. So it's machlokes. On the side of the Gemara, and the end of Sanhedrin, towards the very end, almost the last daf, I think, next to the last daf. On the side of the Gemara, they quote from the Tosfos Mishnah and Yuma in the first perek that Yerushalayim for sure was Chol Kamir Rachas L'Shnei Shvatim. Half of Yerushalayim was Shevet Binyam, and half of Yerushalayim was Shevet Yehuda. How come Yerushalayim was the exception to the rule? So the answer is because Yerushalayim had a double status. Yerushalayim was Migdash Melech Emelucha, like we say in the davening on Friday night. It's Migdash Melech. It's the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. When David HaMelech, first David HaMelech was king in Hebron for 7 years. Then he was the Melech in Yerushalayim for 33 years. So when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital, then the Gemara says he composed the first half of the third brach and the Brichas HaMazon. And then when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, then he composed the second half of the third bracha, because you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chalta v'sabata v'rachta s'Hashem Elokecha al ha'oretz ha'toyla shenasan loch. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first bracha for the food, second bracha noda l'cho on Eretz Yisrael, third bracha al ha'oretz, then ha'toyva refers to ha'or ha'toyva zez Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim has a double status. It's both the capital of Eretz Yisrael, al pidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and it's also the Makom of the Migdash. So the capital of Eretz Yisrael, that has to do with the government. The government is supposed to be Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda. So part of Yerushalayim has to be Bechel Kishal Yehuda. And then the Beis HaMikdash has to be Bechel Kishal Binyam, because that's what Yaakov Avinu said, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And the Bichas Yaakov at the end of Bereshis, and then it was Zos HaBracha. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Baberke Yochalad Bel Ered Yechalek Shalol, Benk Seifob Shachain. They said the Hashuas Hashchina is going to be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. That can be Bechelka Shal Yehuda. The Marsha has in the Chiddush Agoda an interesting comment on that. He says you have to have separation of church and state. The Rabban Shalom doesn't want that the Beis HaMikdash should be controlled by the government, the government and Shevet Yehuda. So we want the Beis HaMikdash should not be Bechelka Shal Yehuda. But Yerushalayim is both the capital of Eretz Yisrael and the Makom of the Migdash. You have to, part of it has to be Bechel Kishal Yehuda, part of it has to be Bechel Kishal Binyamin. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. If we pass on the halacha that Yerushalayim lo Netzchalka L'Shvatim, so it's not Yehuda, it's not Binyamin. So why was the Mizbech missing? The Gemara says, in the Baisheni period, the Mizbech on the floor was 32 by 32 amos. Then went up an amma, the Yisoid. Then it was indented in Amma, and then it became 30 by 30. Then it went up 5 Ammas and went in an Amma, and then it was 28 by 28. So the Gemara said the 32 by 32, the Yisoid was missing on the bottom, on the southern side, and on the eastern side, there was only Yisoid, the first Amma, coming from west to east, and the first Am going from north to south, and the other 31 Amas was missing. Why? Because that was Chelka Shal Yehuda. You're not allowed to have even 1 inch Chelka Shal Yehuda. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, but if you hold the way we pass in Yerushalayim, learn as Chalka Shvatim, so why was the Mizbeach lopsided? Why was it missing? It's learn as Chalka Shvatim. It wasn't Chalka Shal Yud, it wasn't Chalka Shal Binyam. So Tosfos says they had Allah on Moshe Messina, that it should be lopsided, but nothing is Chalka Shal Yud or B'Chalka Shal Binyam. So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Soloveitchik said it over also, that there are two dinim in Chalukah Sort. There's one din, the Gemara of the Kibush. They had the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael by the Kedusha Rishon the first time around was Kibush for Chiluk. Really, the Kibush was the Mekadosh. The Chalukah Eretz Yisrael was the Gemara of the Kibush. The Gemara of the Kibush. So the Gemara of the Kibush was when they declared this is Chalukah Shal Yehuda, this is Chalukah Shal Binyamin, and so on. But then, after they declared this is Chalukah Shal Yehuda, they labeled it. Usually in Dinim Amanus, you don't label. The jacket that I'm wearing belongs to me. It's not called Shechter jacket. It's a jacket. Ownership is a relationship. I own the jacket, but it's not in the Heftzen. That's what the Ramban writes in the Mohammed, the beginning of Lulav HaGozom. He says that there's a mitzvah of Lulav Nito called Shiva Bamigdosh. In Migdosh, you have to take the Lulav all 7 days. And he says, you don't need Shalachem all 7 days. You only need Shalachem the first day. Lekachtem Alachem, and Shalachem is only the first day. The other days is based on the Smachtem, Lefnei Hashem, Alkechem, Shivas Yamim. It's a separate mitzvah. It's not Lekachtem all 7 days. Not that Tilos Lulav is not the Migdash all 7 days. Tilos Lulav all over the world is 1 day. Then there's mitzvah Usmachtam Shivas Yom. Usmachtam Bameh with the Dalad Minim. So Hodor is a din in the Chepze, so that you need Hodor all 7 days in the Migdash. But Shalachem is a din in the mitzvah Lekachtam Lechem, because Shalachem is not ownership is not in the Chepze. So ownership is not in the Chepze, that's ownership Reuven on Shimon on Shechter on Goldstein on. That's not in the Chepze. But if something is Eretz Yisrael, when you make the Chalukah L'Shvatim, so that's in the Chepze. This is called Chalukah Shal Yehuda, that's called Chalukah Shal Binyamin. So that was for the purposes of the Gemara Kibush, to be in Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, wasn't this Chalukah L'Shvatim. But this section is called Chalukah Shal Yehuda. That section is called Chalukah Shal Binyamin. You can't even have a few inches of the Mizbeach the Chalukah Shal Yehuda, because Yehuda is the government. We don't want the government to control the religion. Yeah. They offered the Rabbanut. There was a period of time that he offered Rabbi Abba Soloveitchik, he should become the chief rabbi. He said he doesn't agree to be the chief rabbi. The government controls the chief rabbi. The chief rabbis can't say what they want to say. So he said, what kind of chief rabbi is that? If you have the government is controlling the religion, there's something wrong with the religion then. So he didn't agree. So that din, that Yerushalayim, learn is Chalukah L'Shvatim means in Dinim Mamonos. Usually Chalukah Shal Yisachar was given to Yisachar in Dinim Mamonos. Chalukah Shal Zvulim was given to Shevet Zvulim in Dinim Mamonos. And Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim for the Chal Hashem. That is the Gemara of the Kibush. But that should be the Dinim Mamonos of Yehuda ben Yamin. So that not, ad kedei kach not, because that's because you need the kol shebtechem. The ownership should belong to all the shvatim. So when the Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu, when he comes out of Barth Laorka Larach Bekiluchot Tineno, when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, the Gemara says he was going with the Kinyah Chazake, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. So when he died, he went to Yitzchak, he died, he went to Yaakov, he died, he went to the shvatim. And then it belonged to all the Yisrael, the kol shebtechem. So until they did the Chalukah, all of Eretz Yisrael belonged to Kol Shivtech. So in the days of Yishuv Binun, they made the Chalukah on all of Eretz Yisrael. And on Yerushalayim, they made the Chalukah is the first aspect of the Chalukah. That's called, this is called Chalukah Shal Yehuda, not called Chalukah Shal Binyamin. But in Dinim Mamonos, they didn't give over the ownership to the Tushvat. So that's the way they fulfilled the Dinim, the Kol Shivtech. So it could be, that's perhaps the answer to Chassam Sefer's Kasha. I don't think he gives that answer. Perhaps that's the answer. He said, how could David HaMelech have a Havamina that he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim? Because it was the highest location above the sea level. But it's supposed to be Yerushalayim is Lanus Chalka L'Shvatim, because that's where the, in the days of Yeshua Benun, they already knew it was going to be in Yerushalayim. So I thought maybe the answer is, in the days of Yeshua Benun, there was learning as Chalukah L'Shvatim Medinim Mamonos, because that's going to be the Makam HaMikdash. But this was a few generations later. So David HaMelech, by the time it came to HaMelech, they didn't know why it was learning as Chalukah L'Shvatim. They thought maybe because it's like Washington, D.C., since it's the capital of that, they knew. Yerushalayim is Apidin. David HaMelech did use it as the capital. So they thought maybe since officially that's the capital, so that's why it shouldn't be in the Schalk of the Shvat. Then it turned out, no, that's not the reason why. The capital doesn't have to be D.C. It's because it's the Mokam HaMikdash. So that's an important din. The Gemara has quite a few halachas based on this halacha that Yerushalayim learn in Schalk of the Shvat. Torah describes how we should cross over the Yarden and prosecute. Va'avartam es ha'yarden, yishavtam baratz ha'shem alakech ma'anchil ha'skeim ha'hinich lachem mikol ha'yivech misaviv, yishavtam betach, prosecute aleph and sheni, v'hoyo ha'mokam shivch ha'shem alakech bo d'shak and shmasham, we should build a bit of migdash there. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the second parak has the din. The Rambam quotes in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, Gimel mitzvahs litztav Yisrael b'chnisasam la'oretz. The Jewish people became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in a specific order. The first mitzvah is l'hamid l'hamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then l'hachriz arishal amolek, to wipe out amolek. And then after we will have when it will be peaceful, then Eretz Yisrael, then you have a mitzvah, live in the Slahem Beis HaBchir. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Ramban disagrees here and there with certain mitzvahs. So then the Ramban deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs and the minyan and mitzvah of the Rambam and the Essen and the Lavan, so he has to replace with other mitzvahs. So the Ramban writes a list of the minyan mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot, Shochel Charaf. So one of the mitzvah dalet is one of the more famous ones. He said there's a mitzvah, V'harshtem ha'soretz v'yishavtem bo. He quotes from there in the B'chumish Bamidbar that there's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Israel. So the question is, how come the Rambam didn't quote that mitzvah? So the Megillah Esther suggests that since the Rambam only counts a mitzvah that's the Hegdus L'Doris, only Harosha doesn't belong. So since the Gemara says that in Shir Hashirim, there's a pasuk that's repeated three times in Shabbat, Yeshchem and Osh Yerushalayim, in Teirim, Teres, Rabba, Shetechpo, and the Gemara, the end of Ksuba, says that Gimel Shavuos is Yibya Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. One of the Shavuos is that we won't pressure the Ummah Soilom to let us establish a Medina. So that means that the mitzvah of establishing Medina is not the Hegas L'Doris. For many generations, it wasn't Noeg. So therefore, the Rambam didn't count it. So the Rabbi Nezer has a long tshuva where he disagrees completely with everything that the Megillah Esther said. So the whole thing is a total misunderstanding. It's not the mitzvah of establishing a Medina that the Ramban added on. The Rambam forgot to count. That's L'hamid L'hamelech. The Rambam does count that mitzvah. That's Gimel mitzvah in Stav Yisrael, Bichnisot and Laham Lamelch, to establish a Jewish government with a Jewish king to rule over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then to have to establish a Jewish government, to have an army, then Lachri Zarah Shalom Amalek, and then Livnes Lahem Beis Achira. The mitzvah that the Rambam forgot to count, that the Ramban counts, is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That he didn't count. So that's the whole discussion why the Rambam didn't count. But the Megillah Esther misunderstood. He thought that the Hasog Ramban was that the Ramban says in any generation, we have an obligation to put together an army and to wage war and to seize hold of Eretz Yisrael and to establish a Jewish government. The Rambam did count that mitzvah. That mitzvah he did count. That's the Gemara. Gimel mitzvah, the Stav Yisrael. The mitzvah that he didn't count is mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's different mafreshim give different explanations why the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah.
The Rambam
Gimel
Mitzvahs is not in Sefer
Mitzvahs,
right?
Sefer Mitzvahs also. Oh. It counts all the three, yeah. The Rambam wrote, by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he wrote the Sefer Mitzvahs. So beginning of every section, Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, every section, the Rambam says, we're going to cover the following 15 mitzvahs. We're going to cover the following 5 mitzvahs. So many mitzvahs sesses, so many mitzvahs leisesses. And then by the time you get to the end of that, that's what Limud HaTorah is all about. Limud HaTorah, Lamadat HaMosam, we should learn all the Tariyah Mitzvahs, and Shmartam Laso Yisam. Mitzvotas, people think Limud HaTorah is to be able to say a pilpul, to be able to ask a kasha. That's the dessert. That's a lot of times that's the icing and the second piece of dessert. The Ika Mitzvot Talmud Torah is to know what are the Tariyah Mitzvahs, Lamadat HaMosam, Shmartam Laso Yisam, to learn the mitzvahs, intending to observe all them, to learn Menam HaLasal Kayim. So that's why the Rambam writes, by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he writes the Sefer Mitzvahs. And every section he says, we're going to not cover so many mitzvahs. Then by the time you get to the end, you've covered all of the Mishnah Torah, you covered all of Talmud Torah. The Torah has an interesting pasuk. V'chalt Hashem lefnei Hashem v'lakecha. Where is it? Ma'aseh digonach v'tzirachach v'tzirachach v'charis b'korach v'tzirachach and so on. So the Minhag Chinuch has an interesting comment that the expression lefnei Hashem v'lakecha is used in Chumash in different places. It says, "V'shochat es ben aboker lifnei Hashem." So where do you shecht all the karbonis in the Azor? So lifnei Hashem means in the Azor. If echalt Hashem lifnei Hashem lakech ma'aser digarach b'siroshcha, you don't eat the ma'aser sheni in the Azor. You eat it in Yerushalayim. Then it says, "V'chatzer tzosel kol shayfa hari lifnei Hamelach Hashem." A pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara says that in Migdosh on Rosh Hashanah, when all over the world, we're mechuyev to blow shayf on Rosh Hashanah. In Migdash, when you blow shayf, you blow chatzitzus with it also. And in Taina Sibu, you blow chatzitzus, but in Migdash, you blow shayf with the chatzitzus. Because the pasuk b'chatzitzus, the kol shayf together, a real if neham melech Hashem. So where do you do that? So the Gemara says in Harabais, not only in the Azara, anywhere in Harabais. So sometimes lefnei Hashem means Yerushalayim. Sometimes lefnei Hashem means the Harabai. Sometimes lefnei Hashem means the Azara. How come it has three different meanings? So the Minhag Chinuch points to that. So the Pashtus says that there the Mishnah in the first parak in Kalim lists of Eser Kedushas Heim, the 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdosh. That's how Absalveitchik Langer, Menachem Zemer has a long kuntrus on that. Oitzer HaSifrei. Menachem Zemer had a friend. He was a businessman. Menachem Zemer ran a store. And he was a goyin adir. He knew all the gemaras, all the arsamechs, all the tzofnas panach. He knew everything. He was in every tosefta, everything he knew. And he had chaverim who were businessmen who knew kol haTorah kulam. So one of his chaverim was putting out the Sifrei Zuta on Bamidbar with footnotes. So on board the Sifrei, the footnote called board in the Sifrei. So yes, I'm Rahm Zemel to look it over if he has any ha'oris. So he sent them a whole kuntris that he included, a long, long kuntris on the Eser Kedushas. Because the Mishnah in Kalim has one version of the Eser Kedushas, and it was like Shinuyim, the same thing appears in the Sifrei Zuta, the first Sifrei Zuta. So the Rabbi Menachem Zemer wrote a whole kuntris on that. So the Rabbi Soloveitchik and Menachem Zemer, they explain that the 10 level, the Mishnah says there, Eretzon B'kodeshetz Mikol HaRotzeh Shemivim Mimena HaOymer Eshtalech. Usually a mincha, you don't require that the flour should have grown, the grain, the wheat, or the barley should have grown in Eretz Yisrael. You can get from America and get from Russia. But the Oymer Eshtalech has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. If you grow in Chutzlo, it's no good. So from all the mitzvahs, the Mishnah mentions that din, such an obscure din that we never heard of. Most people never heard of it. Eretz B'kodesh is B'kol HaRotzeh Shemivim Imenu HaOymer Eshtalech. Why doesn't the Mishnah say Eretz B'kodesh B'kol HaRotzeh that is Chayvin Shumas HaMaisus Lekhti Shechapeh Shmita Yoivo? Say all the fat din. Why do you mention such an obscure din? So that's what they explain. Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaRotzeh that we know. The Mishnah is telling us Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. There are 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. So the highest level of Kedushas HaMikdash is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then you go the Ulam, then you go the Heichal, then you go the Ulam, then you go Ben Hulam Elam Mizbeach, then you go the rest of the Azor, then you go Ezras Nashim, you go different degrees in Arbais and so on. Then it says all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. You can't prove that from Trumas and Marsha Shemitah and the other back in Shikhapeya. That's Kedushas HaRotzeh. It doesn't show that it has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Shemivim men ha'imer eshtalechem, that ha'imer eshtalechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But we don't allow people to plant things in the Beis HaMikdash. So we say all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's what it means. So that's why the Pasuk says, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, the different degrees of lifnei Hashem. So by shechitas karbanis of b'shachdas ben abaka lifnei Hashem means in the azar. You don't have to shecht it in the kodesh hakadoshim. You can't shecht it in the harabayis. You have to shecht. The more work that you have to shecht it in the azar. As far as b'chatzotzos l'kol shofar, whenever you have shofar, you need chatzotz. Whenever you have chatzotz, you need shofar. So the lifnei Hashem b'chatzotzos l'kol shofar huri lifnei melech Hashem. The harabayis is enough. And as far as eating Ma'aseh Sheni and Kodshim Kalim, B'chalta Hashem L'Pnei Hashem Melekecha, there it means Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha Migdash. But all three are called L'Pnei Hashem because they're different degrees in Kedusha Migdash. The Gemara in the third parak in Makkos quotes a din from Zvachim that there are certain mitzvahs that require Havoas Makam. What does Havoas Makam mean? So the Gemara explains, Ma'aseh Sheni, Chutz LeYerushalayim. The Ma'aseh Sheni grew whatever in Golan and near Be'er Sheba, wherever it grew. Kozman, before you bring it to Yerushalayim, doesn't have the full Kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni. Losucha Lecha B'Sherecha, there's a lav. If you eat Ma'aseh Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim, you're on a lav, you get Malkas. That's only if the Ma'aseh Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim and the Kedusha was Nishlemes, and then you take it out. But if you eat the Ma'aseh Sheni Chutz LeYerushalayim before you brought it into Yerushalayim, you're only over on a Nesi. Ba'beisim Shama, it's a Nesi, but there's no lav. So that's called Kedushas Makam. So which three things need Kedushas Makam? Havoas Makam. What's called Havoas Makam? So the Pasuk says, Ma'aseh Sheni Netarevai need Havoas Makam, B'chor Be'im Atoira, and Bikurim. Bikurim. These three are mentioned in the Pasuk that calls man. If you magdish another korban, you have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. That's not called havas makam. The kedusha is complete. Let's say a person is magdish a korban in New York, the korban has the full kedusha. When you have a b'chor behemot Torah, the full kedusha is only completed when you bring the behemot to Yerushalayim. But all the other korbanos, when you make the kedusha, it already has the full kedusha right away. So that's called havas makam. And the Gemara Makkos has a, there he is dinim. The Gemara in Makkos has a din. You're not allowed to breed different animals together. You're going to breed together a horse and a cow. It won't have a vlad. The Gemara said, Behemoth or Behemoth may are not misabim zemizah. But let's say you breed together a horse and a donkey and you get a mule. So that's an Isser. Even the Gemara says, even B'nai'ach are prohibited to be marbia. Harbuas Behemoth is Isser. And the Gemara says, if you have behemoth that's kodesh and the behemoth that's chol, that's the Gemara says no. The Gemara says if you have a sharp psulei hamikdashim and you marbia that with another animal, that's a violation of a harboas behemoth. Why? So Rashi says because you have kodesh and chol. Kodesh and chol. So according to Rashi, let's say you have two fields next to each other, the same thing growing. You have grain growing in both fields. Well, one field belongs to Hegdish, one field is Chulin. So if you don't have a fence in between, according to Rashi, Kodesh and Chol is Kelayim, just like it's Kelayim by the Behemoth. If one is Kodesh, one is Chol, it'll be Kelayim by Tvua also. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They say no. When the Gemara says that a sharp Sula Hamakdoshim, if you marbia with another Behemoth, it's Harboa, it's not because Kodesh and Chol. There is no such din. It's all the same min. Because the Pasuk in this Edra talks about Pidyon Hegdish. When you get a korban that has a mum, when a korban has a mum kavua, then you can be paid. If it only has a mum, if you can't be paid, you have to wait till the mum gets paid. You can't be makrovit when it has the mum over. But if it has a mum kavua, then you're allowed to be paid. So the Pasuk says, you can eat a katsvi v'chayol. So the Tosfos shows from the Gemara, that's what it means. Not Kodesh and Chol constitute Kilayim. There is no such thing according to Tosfos. It's only the Pasuk compares Psulei HaMikdashim, of Korban Shehuma Benifte, that's compared to Tzvi Bayol. That's why it's considered the Kilayim. It's both a Tzvi and an Ayol at the same time. But any other thing that's Kodesh, two different fields, Kodesh and Chol, this disagrees with Rashi. That wouldn't be considered Kilayim.
Didn't it say that by Ano, the Motzah Sayyemim, and Torah doesn't sound like it's being critical, just saying he invented the Yemim according to one pshat, means the mules.
Yeah. I think the Gemara Sanhedrin, I think, says like that. That it's the Rama quotes. So the Ben Anach, the Gemara says that it's also even for a guy to me, Rabbi, even to be Markiv Harkavus Ilanus, also also for the Ben Anach. The original Chumrah from the Achrayim that you can't use an Esrog Hamurkov was because they said the Magen Avraham quotes. So because they said it's a mitzvah baba avera, because even though the goyim were markiv the esrog, the esrogim don't grow so well. So if you markiv an esrog tree with an ilan srak, then it's going to grow better. So that's also awesome. It's also awesome. Even though the ilan srak doesn't give off any peris at all, the mishnayos have that's also an iser. So the original achrayim said that that's a mitzvah baba avera. You can't use an esrog amurka because mitzvah baba avera. The later Achrayim were not so thrilled about that explanation. They thought it doesn't fit into the description of mitzvah baba avera, the way Tosfos says. So they said it's a different reason because it's a different min. It's a different min, then there's room to say that it's only harkava, let's say, an esrog tree with a lemon tree. But if you mark it an esrog tree with an ilan srak, it doesn't have any peiros at all. So maybe then it's not a different min. But the original Chumrah was based on the assumption, like the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shach and Yeridei says, that even B'nai Noach are prohibited from doing Harkavus Ilanus, and that same pasuk says, Harboaz Behemus, that it's even also for B'nai Noach.
So how's that stem with the Amen?
The pasuk isn't speaking about it, but the Gemara says he himself was a Mamzer, and that's why he created Mamzer. That's why he did Harkavus Behemus. He himself was not a kosher. The Gemara has a negative comment on him.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe so the pre or the animal b'di'evet does not become usher after it's done b'di'evet.
No, we eat what do we eat that are hybrid
grapefruits?
Grapefruits are hybrid. What else there are others? No.
Yeah, there are others also. Yeah. So standing with the animal also.
Yeah, the animal also. It's muta b'achila. Yeah, just you're not allowed to do it.
Nectarines.
What? Nectarines. Uh-huh. Then the Torah has the institution of the pidyon. You're not allowed to eat the chutz l'Yerushalayim. Yeah. Then the Torah has the institution of besar taiva. That's the meat that we eat. Besar chulin is called besar taiva. The Gemara in the beginning, the first half and the second parak in Chulin quotes the pasuk "Vizavachda kasher tzivisicha." There really is no such pasuk. It's they abridge the pasuk. It's chapter based pasuk Chafala "Vizavachda mebekarch mitzelcha shenasad Hashem l'chol kasher tzivisicha." The Gemara quotes it as if it's written "Vizavachda kasher tzivisicha," and kasher tzivisicha has the connotation of Torah shebal peh. Every so often, the Chumash says, mitzvah has the connotation of Torah Sheval Peh. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. So the Gemara says, Mulam Shem Estava Moshe, and Chumash Shul Chashchita, Shiyad Rasa Chalod Agrama V'yikra, they were given all the dinim, because it's Ebu Zavachta, Kasher Tivi Sicha. That's Besar Taiva. Besar Taiva means Chulim. The Gemara says, we learn out from the Pasuk, it's too far to bring a carbon to Beis HaMikdash to each shlam. He lives too far away. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to shech tchulin in the Azor. You have to shech tchulin outside of the Azor. That's a big machloik, as Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish, Nazir in different Tanaim, Hemsochim in the second Perek, whether this Isser of Chulin Bazor is an Isser Derais and Isser Derabbanim. Big machlekes, yeah. Tosfos writes they would have thought that the machlekes chulin bazar is yishech the bem as chulin in the azara. That's whether that's the rasha the rabban. But let's say a person shechts chulin bazar, then he puts it on the mizbech and he burned it on the mizbech. So Tosfos said they would have thought for sure that's not permissible. You only allowed to be makir on the mizbech, whatever is a carbon. So Tosfos says, well, what can I do? The Gemara says not so. The Gemara says, "Of mother is berab and ozir, the father can declare his son, who is before bar mitzvah, as an ozir, And then the Mishnah says that when the Nazirus is over, the kid is only 10 years old, the Nazirus is over, so the father brings the Karbonus on Nazirus. How can he bring if the whole, he brings a Chatas Nazirus, the whole institution, this Machlek, Sabiach and Mishlokish, what, where do you know that thing? Hov Madir is Merab Nazir. The father can declare his son as a Nazir. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Halach al Moshe Misinai, and Mishlokish says, Midin Chinuch. Gemara says, Midin Chinuch, Midin Rabbanan. So how do you bring a Chatas Nazir? So the Gemara says, Rish Lokish says, Chulam Azor Lav Deraisa. So the Tzitz says, Lav Deraisa, and you zerk the dam of Chulin on the Mizbech, and you mak the Chelev on the Mizbech. It's Chulin. So he says, you see from the Gemara, what can I do? So I say, you see from the Gemara, that even the Hakter on the Mizbech is also Chulam Mazar, a lot of their rice. It's a big Kiddush. Anyway, but Rabbi Yechon holds that it is their rice. So Rabbi Yechon says that that it's Halachon Moshe Messina, that then Hav Madar is Barad Ben Asim. But it's a Machlokes in the Gemara, with Psukim, with Chulam, whether you really darshan like that. Ki yuchat mim cha mokim, b'richo kum mokim matar zirech, b'yorev mokim hiatar zirech. Then the Torah prohibits dam again. Rak chazak kolibul piachol adam ki adam hu anefesh. So this is quotes the pasuk ki adam hu anefesh. That's the question in our generation. What's the definition of the moment of death? How do you know that the person or the animal is dead? So the Gemara says in quite a few places when you cause an animal to bleed on Shabbos, that's a malacha. Exactly what malacha are you violating? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim. So Tosfos says that it's an Isser, Netilas, and Shama. Why? Ki Adam hu nefesh, malikot lekula, malikot lepalga. Tosfos got that whole idea of that Lashon. There is such a Lashon in Bava Kamma, but that's not what Tosfos is referring to. Such a Gemara in Nida that says exactly what Tosfos says. When he caused an animal to bleed, malikot lekula, malikot lepalga, so that's an issue of Netilas and Shamaki Adam Hu Nefesh. The Achronim point out that from all the three shitas, the Rambam, Rashi, and the Taisus, Yerushalmi says Beferish like Taisus, that because an animal to bleed, it's an issue of Netilas and Shamaki Abshechim. It's the Ab Malach Abshechim. So if you want to know what's the definition of life and death, the Pashto says a blood circulation. Cause man, the blood is circulating to the vital organs. You have organs that are not vital organs. The people lost their hands, their legs. People lost their ears, their eyes, but they still exist. They still live. So you have, there's the concept of Evesh HaNeshamet Liyibo, and there's an Evesh Ein HaNeshamet Liyibo. So Kol Zman, the blood is circulated to the vital organs, then the person or the animal is alive. When the blood is no longer circulating sufficiently, when you stop the blood, so if you stop the blood in such a way that it's reversible, you tie a tourniquet, let's say, and then you loosen it so that he's still alive. But if you stop the blood circulation to the vital organs in such a way that it's irreversible, it's not going to be able to straighten out later on, then the animal is no longer considered alive. So the question is, how many of the vital organs do you have the blood stopped? Do you need? You need all the vital, how many vital organs are there? That's question number one. So the Rambam, whenever the Mishnah has a din, it depends on Evesh HaNeshamet Liyibo, the Rambam only has three. He has the lev and the kovid and the rosh, the brain and the liver and the heart. But there are more vital organs than three. So that's one question. How come the Rambam only has three means? That the Rambam understood that that's all. Al-Pidin, the halacha only recognizes three. But no, the halacha recognizes all the vital organs. Al-Pidin have the status of Evesh HaNeshamet Liyibo. So that's a question. Then there's a further question, how many of the vital organs do you have to have blood stopped? Is it sufficient? I would have thought any one vital organ, you need all the vital organs to be considered alive. Any one of them, the blood is no longer circulating to that vital organ. I would have thought that the animal is already dead. So that's questionable. Maybe it's not enough if one vital organ no longer has blood circulating. Maybe you need roiv, and maybe you need kulam. Why would we want to not say, I would have said in Tashman one vital organ, because you have to have a definition for a geises. Al-Pidin is the status of geises. There is separate dinim. Sometimes there are lochas required. A geises is rev geises in lemisa, mir geises in lechayim. That's a metzias, but we have certain dinim that the way the halacha changes when a geises is kachal l'chol devarav, but not exactly l'chol devarav. There are certain halachas, but a geises is considered, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Aholos, in the first paragraph of the Aholos, a geises the way we are, those of us who don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So in the Hebrew translation of the Pirush HaMishnayos, he refers to the Tahalich HaMavis. There's a process of death. It's not that the person is alive, then a second later he's dead. No, death is a process. So the beginning of the process of death is called Gosis. And the Gemara of the process of death is dead. Then he's mace. So the question is, what's the beginning of the process? You have to know what is the end of the process. So if you say the end of the process is when Raiva, all of the vital organs are no longer being supplied with blood, circulating to them to deliver the oxygen, then you can say the definition of the Gosis is when one of the vital organs is no longer being supplied with blood. If you don't say that, then you have a question, how are you going to define Gosis? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva. They both say they don't know how you're supposed to define Gosis. That's a serious shama. But l'chora, that's the Ram gives you, that's the definition of Gosis, when the Tahalich HaMavis began. Yeah, the Torah tells us we should be careful. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Chav Tes, Shlishi, the first Pasuk. Ki Achris Hashem Lakecha, Sagai Mishar, Atah Bosham, L'Resh HaZoysa Mepanecha, Yisham Lecha Pentinok, Shacharei Mahich, Achrei Hisham, the Mepanecha, Pentidrosh, L'Lahem Leimar, Ech Yavad Agai Mahem, Salahem, Esekein Gamani. So what does it mean? So the Gemara says it refers to Avodah Zarah Kedarka. Whatever, however the Nochem worship Avodah Zarah, we're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah Kedarka. Yeah, so let's say, Bayarat Smanapur Zarah Kevin the Markulis, whatever the crazy form of worshiping is, if they worship Avodah Zarah, so Yechayv Misa for Avodah Zarah. What if Al-Shech the Korban put Pa'or, Al-Shech the Korban to Markulis, they never Shech Korbanis? So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that Zibuch Kitan Nisuch Ishtachva, those Dalar Avodahs, and this passage goes up with the Zorkidark. With the Zorkidark, whatever, you're not allowed to worship up with the Zorkidark. And Zibuch Kitan Nisa Chishtachwa, that's even if it's Shalorkidark. So the Rabban Achumish on this passage says that's an additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shabbat Peh. He thinks that's not really the Pshutu Shalmikra. Pshutu Shalmikra means a different thing. You will ask, Echayab Dagaim Hemisavahayim. What are some beautiful practices that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have in their religion? I'll worship the true God in heaven above the way the Goyim worship Avodah Zarah, because the person will feel that we have a lot of old minhagim by the Jewish religion that are stale. They're outdated. They're outmoded. We should introduce a little bit more Lebedekite. So we should look into the Avodah Zarahs of Christianity, look into the other religions and see what are some beautiful minhagim. We should introduce it. So it says, you're not allowed to introduce minhagim of Avodah Zarah into the Jewish religion. Rabban thinks that that's pshuto shel mikra. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Tosfos in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah, Tosfos points out that there are two prohibitions of chukas akum. If it's a chuk l'Avodah Zarah, if it's a practice that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have as part of their religion, then you're not allowed to do it, even if you're doing the Shem Mitzvah. Let's say the Goyim are going to start to wear tefillin, the Shem Avodah Zarah. We have to wear tefillin, we have no choice. But let's say the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are going to, when they give the death penalty, they'll give death penalty in a certain way. So, and they'll do it as a religious act, because God instructed them in the mitzvahs, and whoever violates a mitzvah gets a saif, and they do saif in a certain way. So then the Mishnah would say, so then we shouldn't do saif the way they do saif. We have a choice. Do saif in a different way. But if it's a minig shtus, stam a minig bi'alma, so then it's also an isur achukah sakam. But then if we're doing the same mitzvah, then you don't have to change. So Tosfos holds that there are two different prohibitions of chukah sakam. We're the two psukim. I actually thought that Tosfos holds like this Ramban. This pasuk over here, the last pasuk in chapter Yudbeis, is the Isser of Chukas Akram, where it's a Chok Lavad Izar. And the other pasuk, Chukasem Lose Lechu, in the middle of Vayikra, that's what the Tosfos calls the Minig Shtus. The Rama Mosa, when the Rama writes the prohibition of Chukas Akram, he quotes this pasuk, he quotes Chukasem Lose Lechu, he quotes this also. So from the Rama would appear also that he holds like that Ramban, that the Pshuto Shamikra is going on not on Avodah Zarah Kedarka. That's an additional level of interpretation of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But the Pshuto Shamikra really is talking about not to introduce Minhagim from the Avodah Zarah. There's a certain rabbi, he's already an old man now. I don't know if he's active anymore, but he used to say 30 years ago that we have a lot of old, he claims to be an Orthodox rabbi. Has smicha from a real yeshiva in Brooklyn. So he used to say that we have a lot of old menhagim that are stale. We should look into the Christian religion and into all the other religion. Any nice meaning that they have, we should introduce it into the Jewish religion. That's exactly what the Ramban says you're not allowed to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do that. Yeah. You have a pasuk, chapter Yud Gimel. We should follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Noach quotes a medrash, Esra Elokim is Halach Noach. So Rashi quotes the medrash, Avraham Avinu was a pioneer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Yisalech Lefanai. I want you to be the pioneer. You blaze the trail. You go. You figure out what's the right thing to do. Noach wasn't as great as Avraham Avinu, so he couldn't be a pioneer, but Esa Lekim Mishalach Noach HaKadosh Baruch Hu held his hand, and he held the hand of Rabban Shalom and went along. And the Rabban Shalom doesn't expect of us that we should be like Avraham Avinu, to be the pioneers, Esalech Lufanai. He doesn't expect of us that we should be walking with him. He says, Achra Hashem Elokechem Teilu, follow me, just follow me. Rav Soloveitchik said that he, when he had younger grandchildren, so sometimes he would walk to shul with the grandchildren, he would hold the hand. Others would run ahead, and others would be treading behind. So he had all the three. One were his alech lefanai, some would be holding his hand, and some would be schlepping behind. So Rav Shalom doesn't want us to be, he doesn't ask of us to be as great as Avraham and Noach. Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilech, we should just follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Torah has a dinim of Mesis and Mediach. Mesis is Mesis Liyachid, Mediches Harabim. The Pasuk happens to speak about the Pasuk Yudalad, talks about Mediche Irani Dachas, but the Ramba, the Gemara seems to hold that Mediach has a din Mediches Harabim, even if it's not in the situation of Irani Dachas. Also din of Mediach. So what's the definition of Rabim? So the Min Haschinoch quotes from the Mishnah's Chachamim. That Chibur on the Rambam, commentary on the Rambam. He quotes a lot from the Mishnas Chachamim. Mishnas Chachamim discusses how big does the Rabbim have to be that he should have the din of Mediach, as if the din is slightly different. Mesis is a Yach Mediach as a Rabbim. Is a Rabbim 3 or is a Rabbim 10? So the Gemara has a din of Neder Shuhuda Barabbim or Neder Shuhuda Abdas Rabbim. So how many people do you need that it should be called a rabbi? So the Gemara has a machlokes, whether it's 3 or 10. Why should it be 3? Because it says, Azav Gedolah, it says, Okis Zozov al Dama Yomim Rabim. So Yomim Shnaim Rabim Shlosha. So the Gemara says, based on that passage, Azav means she has Riazdam 3 days in a row, Nurala Fiyam Shemeidim Anidah. So there, Rabim has the connotation of 3. So that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Shina Megim al Achash Mishpat in Hilchas Schiras Payalim. So they have a din that when you make a kinyan, if I agree to work for somebody, so you have to make a binding agreement. So a binding agreement is if you make a kinyan, let us sell property to someone. So you have to make a kinyan. You have to make a ma'aser kinyan. Rabim, the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, Shin Lamed Gimel, and Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kivege quotes it on the side, but he's quoting from the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, and the Torah, who quotes it from the Mordechai Bava Metzia, the Rabim Akaina without a Ma'aser Kinyan. And the definition of Rabim is 3. So if you have a business that's owned by 3 Shutvim, and I agree to sell them something for $100, and then I change my mind, I want to charge $150, so the Kinyan already took effect. Once we both agreed, the Kenyan is chal already. If a person agrees to work for the community or to work for a business that's owned by 3 people, So three people is a rabbim and a kinyan is binding without a ma'aseh kinyan. There's no need for a ma'aseh kinyan. That's what the Chazanish suggests. What's the definition of hefker? When you make something hefker, so we usually assume hefker means you declare the ownerless. The Chazanish says maybe it's not so. Maybe it means it's haknah to the rabbim. Let's say city hall belongs to the municipality to the extent that no one has a right to take it. It belongs to the city. It belongs to the rabbim and should remain in the, or let's say the streets in the city belong to the rabbim and the people don't have a right to take it on their own. But hefka means you're makna to the rabbim, like truma is mamon hashev, truma is mamon kohanim, that any kohen has a right to convert it to become his private ownership. So maybe hefka means not that ownerless. When the Rebbe Shom came to the world, everything was ownerless. Then when someone was zechem and a hefka belongs to him, maybe you can never revert back to make it ownerless. Maybe you can be mafkir, it means you makna to the rabbim. It's like mamon hatzibur, that any yochid has a right to convert it to his ownership. The baby means a haknah the rabbim. That's how the Chazanish has in the beginning of Orlo. That you see, he brings rice from the Mishnayos to that yisoid that the Ramo quoted from the Mordechai. That the haknah to the rabbim doesn't need a ma'aseh kinyan.
Rabbi, the rabbim just quickly, Rabbi, according to the Chazanish, on Erev Pesach, can we do that with chametz?
Yeah, why not? Mafke the chametz? Yeah.
To the Rishus Rabbim. It's like a different than what we do it, no? Or is it the same?
We declare that it's hefker. The question is, what's the definition of hefker? Hefker means it's ownerless. Hefker reverts back to the state that it was in when the Rebbe Shlom created the world. Everything was ownerless. What do you say? No, it can never revert back to become ownerless. I just makna it to the rabbim, and now any member of that rabbim has a right to take it for himself. But the makna the chametz, that solves the problem. That's what Tosfos learns. The chametz is bitl bi'alma sagi, so bitl and Tosfos learn that bitl means hefker. That solves your problem, however you understand it. There is a discussion, the Ramban on Psochim quotes a machlokes hatanaim in the Yerushalmi, the two brises. If a person has chametz shel hefker b'shusa, is he in violation of ba'yua b'ymotze? Tosfos is assuming that not, but there was an opinion that yes. So it may have to do with that machlokes. What's the definition of hefker? It may have to do with that machlokes in the Yerushalmi.
A Rebbe, isn't there a Rambam regarding Achil Hashem or Kiddush Hashem, where he mentions Rabbim? Is something in Hilchus Tshuva? Where is it? Yisodei HaTorah,
where he talks. Yeah, yeah. Rabbim in Asara.
Asara, he says. Yeah. So can we apply it here? The word Rabbim?
No, no. The Gemara learns that Dabush Bigdusha, you need Asara, right? If he's Mechal, if he doesn't have there, Bifrahesia. Bifrahesia means Bifnei Asara Me Yisrael. And Dashli Bisoch Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says the word Toch has the connotation of Asara. The Gemara learns that from Psukim has the connotation of Asara. Yeah, so there are differences. That's a question. What's the definition of Mediach? Mediach is Harabim. Rabbim means three, or Rabbim means ten. I would have said Rabbim means an ear, even Idachas, but that there arise from the Gemara that it's not. So that's a discussion that the Menhaschina quotes from the Mishnah Schachanim. Here the Torah has a din of the Mesis, so it says, V'cholisol yishmu v'iron, v'lo yosif alasas kadova harazam yikirbecho. So the Gemara towards the end of Sanhedrin, towards the end of, before Perek Chelek, around Daf Pei Zaynas, or Daf Pei Ches, the Gemara says, Abo tzrich ma'achrozen. There are four places in the Chumash where it says, V'anisharim yishmu v'iro. So the Gemara says what it means is they have to advertise in all the newspapers that Blaney was given the death penalty because of this and this aver. A murderer, there's no dinner. Mechal, the Shabbos Baal Eishishish, there's no dinner b'achroz. Only four people. And one of them is the Mesis, and one of them is the Ben Sora Moira. The Zokamamri, I think. I forgot it. Adam Zemim, I think those are the four. What do they all have in common? That's a question. What do they all have in common? Sounds perhaps as if the death penalty is given to serve as a deterrent. Panisham Yishma Yiro. Usually the death by Malchus, it's a question. Malchus is a punishment, Lishover. A Malchus is a deterrent for the future, that he shouldn't repeat it. So that's a discussion. The Maharal Prague has that discussion, and they say to Gurarie on Rashi HaChumash, Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay about that. What about Misa? Can't say Misa is to serve as a deterrent. He's going to be dead. What kind of deterrent? So misa, we usually assume, is a punishment. But it could be that these abot, sirichim achrozo, it could be that these four deserve as the deterrent for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it could be that the dinam are slightly different. Maybe the onesh misa is slightly different. Maybe you don't need hasra. That's a possibility. Maybe these abot, sirichim achrozo, since their death penalty is not really an onesh lisha ovar, it's really to serve as a deterrent to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it could well be that all four don't need hasra. You got to look through the dinim and the gemara with the rishonim. There are some opinions like that. Not all the rishonim hold like that, but some hold like that. Then the Torah has a, yes.
So isn't that true in general about that death penalty in general, that it serves more as a it also just serves as a deterrent for future avirot also?
That's a question. Maybe it's only an Einish Shava. Maybe it doesn't have to have an element of deterrent. These four psukim, these four say, sounds like these that serve as a deterrent. But other cases, death penalty is an Einish Shava. Doesn't have to be a deterrent. Then the Torah has a Pasha of Yerani Dachas. The simple reading of Yerani Dachas is that they all worship the Avodah Zarah. There's a Mechudish Dika Rambam in Mor and Nebuchim, where the Rambam interprets the parsha in Sefer Yoshua, when the 7-year war was over, the Sheva Shekopshu. So Yeshua ben Nun bids farewell to Reuben and Gad and Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh, so they can go back to their families in Eved HaYarden. And he says, and later on he heard, it says in Yoshua, later on he heard that they made the Rav Mizbeach. So they gave him a false report. They gave Yeshua ben Nun a false report that they bring a karbonis on the Rav Mizbeach in Eved HaYarden, which is an Issa Kares. Shchut Echutz is an Issa Kares. So Yeshua ben Nun says we should put together an army and we should wage war and wipe out the whole Shevet who's violating the din of Shchut Echutz. Why are they going to keep him the death penalty? Shchut Echutz is Kares. It's not Mises Bezen. So the Rambam and the Mor and the Buchim says it's midin irin yachas. That's a chiddush that irin yachas applies the yechayiv sayif not only for Avodah Zarah. If they violate shchut echutz, they violate other averus. Also, there's a din of irin yachas. So the pashta says there are a lot of funny things in the Mor and the Buchim. We're not sure how to deal with it, but there are Rambams in the Mishnah Torah that seem to be based on that assumption. There are some other points out. The Rambam has Lashainas in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. He quotes all the dinim of Yerani Dachas. So the Rambam writes, the Bez Nagorol should send two shluchim to give them Musar to the city, that they should stop worshiping Avodah Zarah. If they do tshuva mutav, then they're off the hook. If they don't do tshuva, then Sar Malem La Mochama, you put together an army, that the Lushainas come from the Psukim in Yeshua. Where did the Rambam get that you sent two shluchim to give them Musa? So the Yosef Melech says, that's what it says in Sefer Yeshua. The Yeshua ben Nun sent two shluchim. And the Rambam in Mishnah Torah is assuming, like he wrote in the Maran Nebuchim, that the story in Sefer Yeshua was an issue of Shrutech, was an issue of Yidachas, even though it was only Shrutech, who was not with his arm. So that's a very fascinating Rambam. That's a very big Kiddush. That the din of Yerani Dachas applies even on Shara Veris as well. The Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, if they do tshuva, is mutov. The Ravid writes, Tov hadov hashetor la tshuva, very nice idea that tshuva should help, but we never found the Bezron Shalmata that if the person's Machal Shabbos, then he does tshuva, so you don't give him the death penalty. The Bezron Shalmaila gives him a break. Bezron Shalmata doesn't, we can't tell if the person did tshuva. We have a din that a Rosh is pasaleidus, if he does tshuva, is koshaleidus. So that's not a problem. How do we ascertain that the person did tshuva? So we got no choice. The Gemara gives rules and regulation. How do you know? People have namonis. People have namonis. If he violates this din, he doesn't, he's not namon unless he does tshuva. So we have to have guidelines. When is the tshuva except for this? You have no guidelines on this. That a person is chayv noinish and he does tshuva, becomes a big tzaddik. We have no such thing. So the Rambam is a teller. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father. And then we looked and we found the Ragat Shavah learns this pshat and the softness panech on the Rambam. But the Rambam says, It doesn't mean mutav, they're off the hook. It means mutav, we don't judge them as an emeni dachas, we judge them as individuals, that are chayiv misa, like Arba Abedizara. One is Arba Abedizara is chayiv skila, but mamona polat, you don't burn his house, you don't burn all of his property. So if the people in the emeni dachas do tshuva, so you give them the, you judge them as yechidim, whether they're chayiv misa. The Rambam meant it doesn't have a din of emeni dachas. Where did that come from? All right, he got it from the pasuk in Yeshua, that Yeshua ben Nun wanted to send two shluchim, two messengers, to get them to do tshuva. If they don't do tshuva, not zaleim la melchama. Okay, but where did Yeshua, where do you have it in the pasuk? So some gedolim suggest, maybe I saw it in the Chabina Rav Tshuvas, Yotzva Anoshim b'nei b'liyami kebecha. I think the Mishnah has in the end of Sanhedrin, when I had the last few dafim at Sanhedrin about Irani Dachas, so I think Yotz Anashim is Me'elomam Yotz, that they lose the Olam Abba. That Anshi Irani Dachas Ein Lachayim Le'olam Abba Shinem Yotz Anashim Sheyotz Me'elomam. Yeah. So the I think some Gedolim have the suggestion that that's one of the conditions in Irani Dachas. That if they do tshuva that they don't lose Olam Abba, so then there's no din of Irani Dachas. But we still do chayv misa based on like yichidim.
But if we've done them but if we've done them as yichidim, then there was no hasra. Then there's no chayv misa anymore. And there's mafreya. There's no hasra. No,
but you have to have hasra. Emeni dachas does need hasra.
Ah.
No, we said there were four anisham yishmiro. The four who need achraza. There's some rishonim hold. There's no hasra. Emeni dachas says you do need hasra. Yeah. The shaila was they gave him hasra, don't worship Abba, so we're going to give you skila. Then if it turns out that it's a near any dachas, if right for you worship Abba, then you don't give him skila, then you give him saif. Akisaka lefichorek means saif. So that's a question whether Musa the Dava Chama, have you Musa the Dava Kal? If they gave him hasra not to do Abba, they're going to give you skila, then it's going to turn out that right for you did Abba, they only get saif. So if you're Musa the Dava Chama, have you Musa the Dava Kal, how does it get off the ground? So that's Akasha that the Gedolim asked that question. Now, so Leitchik thought, can I ask everybody to please mute themselves? Hello, hello. Can I ask everyone to please mute themselves? Thank you. Okay, good. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the answer is like this. First, the Bezin makes a Gemar Din that the person is Chayv Skila. They have to have enough people who are chayv skila, and that you have to have a hasra for skila. Then the Bez Nagol declares, when they realize that the rightful heir worshipped Avodah Zarah, they declare the city is an Irani Dachas. That's the din of Irani Dachas, that instead of giving the Einish skila, we made it by din of skila. Instead of giving the Einish skila, then we give the Einish Sayif. The Gemara has a machloikis where they say, Donim Misoklim, Donim Misoklim. First, the Makabalayim that Reuven worshipped Avodah Zarah. So you give him skila. The Shimon worship, they give skila. Until you reach the point of Raif, then it's Mekan Lahaba. Instead of giving skila, you give Saif. So how do you have the right to give skila in the first place? The answer is no. We make a Gemad Din a skila and a Chayv skila. We give skila. We didn't do anything wrong. After Mekan Lahaba, after the Bez Nagorol realizes that you have a rightful ear, who worshipped Avodah Zarah, then we declared the cities in Eretz Dachas and Mikan Yelach, the Gmadin for Skila, really Gmadin is for Skila. Mikan Yelach, the din of Eretz Dachas is instead of giving Skila, you give Chenek, you give Zayef, and you burn down all the property, you burn everything down. But until that point, the Gmadin is Meskila. The Hasra has to be Meskila, and Achinami. The Pasuk says, after you burn down the holy Irani Dachas, Nasan Lucha Rachman Virichamcha, Kadosh Baruch will give us Rachmanis. Yeah, so some of the Mefarshim Achumish say that when you do an act of Achzarius, you it becomes part of you. So the Rabban Shalom presses us that if we do this act of Achzarius and we'll burn down the Irani Dachas and you kill Noshim Mataf, so then there's an act of Zoris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that we should develop a Midas Rachmanis. V'nasan Lucha Rachmin. V'yidot v'yotcha me'umah men acherim. Pasuk means in Pasuk Yud Ches, in chapter Yud Gimel, You're not allowed to take anything from the Irini. Dachas, everything is also Bahanua. Even though it's their private property, it's not the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, we know Avodah Zarah is also Bahanua. The Krubis, Noi Avodah Zarah, Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. This is none of the above. But it has a Shaychus with Avodah Zarah. You have to burn down the whole city. It was called Shalol Atikbat Zotech Rechaiva. You have to burn everything because it has a Shaychus with Avodah Zarah. So this love, applies even if a person is nenameyat asher. That's beferish and nigmar. It's a nisan on anything that has to do with avodah zar. The word mauma has an interesting connotation. Mauma means kolshu. So there are mishnayos and Shabbos that by hoitzo on Shabbos, you have to carry out. You have to carry something into the shusar rabbim adavaramis b'shusaram. You have to carry something that has significance. So you have, I think, two prokim, a two-hair prokim, something like that. If you carry paper, how big does it have to be? You carry wood, you carry metal, you carry water, you carry wine. Every item, what is the shir for carrying? What if you take Avodah Zarah, you throw it in the garbage? On Shabbos, you throw it from Shusar Echad into the Shusar Rabbim or something. So the Mishnah says, Mu'uma, even Kol Shehu. Mu'uma, there's no minimum size. Mu'uma means Kol Shehu. So the Rama quotes this Mu'uma with respect to mashahu. There are mishnayos that say if you have yayin esach that gets mixed in with yayin kosher, so it's b'mashahu. Tosfos quoted the guy in that bizman that since the nochem are not became b'nisuch anymore, so the mikra din, the wine is really mutabana today. Usually we're not mekel, but if you have a hefsed merubah, then the Rama says we're mekel b'hana. If you only have hefsed mut, we're machmer. But since the wine today is no longer, it's not really Yayin Nesach, it's Stam Yenim, and not became Benitzach, there's no longer Rasa Banon Yikra, then it's no longer the Mashu, the Stam Yenim would be bottled B'Shisha. But on real Yayin Nesach, it is the Mashu. So the Rambam says, how do you know Yayin Nesach is Mashu? He quotes the Pasuk, B'yotcha Me'um HaMenachem, that Rabbi the Zohar is the Mashu. So the Achreim have a Machlekes, but the Rambam meant that men of Torah, or mid the Rabbanan. Pashtus, we assume Avodah Zarah is the Mashu is only a Chumr mid the Rabbanan. It's not a Din Menater. The Mishnah and Shabbos and Tzaddik, whatever, Tzaddik Hey or something, says Mu'uma, that is Kol Shehu. There's no minimum size for it. So that's a Din Deraisa. But that is B'mashu, that is not bottle. The Pashtus says that the Rama also agrees that it's only the Rabbanan. But some Achrayim thought that the Rama meant that it's a real Din Deraisa also. Then the Torah has all the din of kashas. How do you identify whether any given animal is kosher or treif? So you need malager mafis parsa. How do you identify whether any given fish is kosher or treif? You have to have snap of the kaskesas. Then how do you identify whether a bird is kosher or treif? So the Chumash doesn't give the simanim. Chumash just gives you a list of all the treif of birds and everything else is kosher. You have to know all the birds in order to know which are the treif of birds to know by process of elimination, what kosher. So the Mishnah and Chulin, and Perik Eilatret, the Mishnah towards the end of the Perik gives you the simonim, how to identify what any given bird is kosher or treif. The Gemara tells a story there in Chulin that the Amoraim and Bubble, they came upon a new bird that they never saw before, and they established incorrectly, they made a mistake, and they established that that has all the simonim, all the characteristics that can declare it as a kosher bird. So they started eating the bird. And then later on they realized that they made a mistake. They were eating a treif of bird. So they stopped eating it. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, usually Rashi doesn't give any comments on the Gemara, halacha l'maaseh, Rashi comments. So therefore it's a good idea that we should never eat a bird based on the simonim. But just like the Amara made a mistake, we can make a mistake also. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. The Mechaber writes, for the Svardim, we identify a bird as being kosher based on the simanim that the Mishnah has. And the Ramah quotes from the Sefer Is Beheter from the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. There was a Rabbeinu Yonah HaSvardi, that's Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah Brochus in the Shari Tshuva. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah HaSvardi, who was a Mechutna of the Ramban. Their children were married together. And then the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, who wrote the Is Beheter, is quoted every single page in Yerideya. They quote from the Is Beheter. He never quotes any Sardis Shavishan, only quotes Rashi and Balei HaTosfos. So he has this Chumrah, the Ramah quotes this Chumrah, not to eat any bird unless you have a Masorah, that's a kosher bird, because you may have judged incorrectly. You may guess wrong. So that's a whole discussion that the Poskim have written a lot on Turkey. When Columbus came back from America to Spain, he brought back the turkey. And we never had a tradition on the turkey that it's kosher, but it has all the simanim of a kosher bird. So in Spain, all the Jews were Sephardim. There were no Ashkenazim there in Spain. So they started eating the turkey. And then 50 years later, I guess the Ashkenazim saw that the Sephardim are eating the turkey. So they assumed they must have had a tradition that it's a kosher bird. But Lamai said there was no tradition. So that's why some of the Achraim say it's not right. They quote on the side of the page in the big Yerodea, the Shalos descendants will not eat turkey because the Ramah held you. It's a get. The Shalos said, according to the Ramah, there's a minig that Ashkenazim only eat a bird if you have a tradition. We never had a tradition. So some of the Achraim say the American Indians were from the lost 10 tribes and they had a tradition that the turkey is kosher. A wild suggestion. I don't think any of the Indians today in America claim to be descendants from the 10 tribes. I don't think they ever claim to be descendants from the 10 tribes.
Just the horror when Columbus brought back when Columbus brought back the turkeys, there were no official Eden in Spain anymore. You know, so that's horror.
Okay, it's a good horror. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Very good, yes. Then the Pasuk has been Ivlosam Loisi Go, that Nivlos Behema is metame. Binavlos Melasigo sounds like you're not allowed to become tame to an avela. How can that be? Kohanim are only not allowed to come tame to here Pasuk Ches in chapter Yud Dalet. Kohanim are prohibited to come in contact with the Mesodim, but other tumas they're allowed to come in contact. All of a sudden, no one's allowed to touch them. Nivlos Behema. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah it goes Beregel. Chai Varam Taratzma Beregel. It doesn't go all year long. Then here, in connection with the trefa animals, it has you're not allowed to have basa b'chalav to finish off the whole series of the laws of kashrus. Shesua is an animal. Shesua is mentioned over here. So the Gemara Nida says that Shesua is an animal that has Malagera and Mafris Parsa here in Pasuk Zion, chapter Yud Zion, Tapti Yud Dalet, Pasuk Zion. You're not allowed to eat the Shesua, despite the fact that it is Malagera and it is Mafris Parsa, you're still not allowed to eat it. So why? So the Gemara has Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So one opinion is the Shesua, what is unique about the Shesua? Hashnei Gab and Hashnei Shadros has two spines, and there's an empty crack in between them, an empty space in between them. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. So one Gemara holds such an animal will not survive; it can't exist. What is the Torah writing about animals that don't exist? No, it's talking about Shesua ben Pekua. If I shecht a cow and I find an uber inside, and the uber is Shesua, so you're not allowed to eat it. Normally, the ubers need to be shechit asima, but if the uber, because it can't be referring to a regular Shesua that was born, such a min is going to die. It can't exist. And the other Amora says, no, such a min can exist. But if it's a ben pagur shesua, then it will be mut. So since it's a machlekes, we don't know what the facts are. Some Shulchan Aruch, they say luchumra, that you shouldn't be allowed to eat even a shesua ben pagur. I remember when we learned the other day, Rabbi Soloveitchik said we shouldn't laugh while they're writing about such strange, awkward things. How often is this going to happen? He said there was a period of time that he used to give hashgach on a slaughterhouse in Boston, and he saw, he wasn't there so often, he used to go once a week or whatever, he saw shesua ben pekua. Then they told me it's not so uncommon. It's a common thing. The shesua, we don't have shesua walking around, but shesua ben pekua is not that infrequent. So that's a big question. The Torah Tmima quotes the issue that the Ritva Anida quotes the Rebbe. The Rebbe thinks that we should be Mata Shesua Ben Pekua because he knows that the Shesua does exist as an animal. There is such an animal, the Hashnei Gab and Hashnei Shadruz, and we should pass on like that opinion that only the animal is also, but if it's Shesua Ben Pekua, should be Muta. So Torah Tmima also writes, Torah Tmima was written almost 100 years ago, I don't know, almost 100 years ago. So at that time, there was an animal in the African jungles that they thought had Malagir Mapis Parasa and had Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shadras. So they thought that that was the Shesua. So he tainas, we should be matir, the Shesua ben Pekua. But around 30 years ago, the experts in, I forgot what you call them, the experts in animals, they know all the different animals, they came to the realization that was a mistaken identity, that animal is not the malager. It's always chewing. A person chews chewing gum, that's not called malager. Malager means the food goes down to the stomach, then it comes back up, and it goes down again, then it comes back up. That animal in the African jungles, it's akashne gabin ashne shadroes, but it's not a malagera. After the food goes down to the stomach, it doesn't go back up. All the experts in the world misidentified it for many years. They thought that that animal was a malagera. It really isn't. There's a lot more in the Sedra. Okay, it's a rich Sedra. Everyone should have a good Shabbos. I think I understand this is going to be the last Shia for the summer on the Parshas HaShavua. We're giving everybody a week off vacation, and then we're going to start the yeshiva. Okay, have the rest of the summer. Have a pleasant time. Everyone should be healthy.